Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
SansPants Radio, subscribe to all of our podcasts, please.
Hey, it's that time of the year again. Melbourne Comedy Festival has arrived and none of the shows you picked were massively hampered by the Comedy Festival's no liquids rule. Well, stress no further, because this year I'm going to be hosting a quiz show called Big Deal. It's sort of like the game show equivalent of accidentally ejaculating backwards. It'll feature comedians and a whole bunch of SansPants people, and it'll also change your life. Grab your tickets from the Melbourne International Comedy Festival website or from our own website, sanspantsradio.com/live.
Hey everybody, and welcome to today's episode of Thumb Cramps, a video game podcast for those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
And I'm Joel.
And today we're going to be looking at Gris and other games. So Gris is a game for the Switch. It was a late contender for the, my favorite game of 2018. That... And you know what? It got it. It got it with a lot of stars on that, because my word, what a fun game.
Yeah, I think what you were going for is your game of the year.
Yes.
Look, you did my trick where you said a lot of words, but only meant a little amount of
yes,
words.
Yes, 100%. Yes, I did that.
Did it make you cry? I've heard it's sad.
It is sad. It didn't...
Oh, not sad, but like... Moving.
Emotional. It is emotional. It is a very good, beautiful, poignant game. It's the closest game I can think to relate it to is Journey. So if you've ever played Journey,
yeah.
I would say if you're looking for a game almost akin to that experience, I would say pick up Gris.
It's
just really pretty and really beautiful and really poignant. In terms of... So I kind of want to be like, all right, there's some caveats here, because I'm like, it's such a fun game, I love it, but there are some caveats. If you're looking for a game that really challenges you, that, you know, like your idea of a game is to throw your face at a wall until it breaks, and then when it breaks, you're very happy.
Yeah.
Your face or the wall.
Either or, to be honest. Not that game. I might compare it again to another game that came out very early in 2018, Celeste, which is also, I guess, kind of like dealing with mental health issues as well, except that game was punishing and brutal, and I loved it as well.
What a great game Celeste was.
Celeste, depression is hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, basically.
Yeah, pretty much. So where Celeste was like a platformer that was just completely brutal, like I would go through 600 lives in a level, and again, it was a lot of fun. And the moment when you finish a stage, oh, the euphoria.
Yeah, absolutely.
Gris is not that. So if you're looking for an experience, if you're looking for a game that, I mean, you can sit down and knock this game out in a session. I would perhaps advise against it, simply to give yourself that kind of breathing room to kind of take it in, because it is just beautiful to kind of, it's a game you don't want to rush.
Okay.
It's a game you kind of want to enjoy it as it is. So it is a 2D platformer.
Yep.
You follow, the exploits of young girl named, I assume,
Mrs. Gris.
Yeah.
One Miss can Gris. Only assume. And so the thing I really liked about this whole story is that it is up for interpretation. You don't...
Ooh.
There is kind of, I guess, what it is going for, but you can kind of take it through a few different ways if you'd like.
Is it like Journey in that there's kind of no dialogue, really?
There's no dialogue. There is singing.
Hell yeah.
And
the singing of words?
No. And the soundtrack is beautiful.
Does that have words?
No.
Wordless game.
All right.
Rare. Although, never mind. I'll get to what I was going to say in a second.
So, you start off as Gris, and she's in this So she's in, like, there's a big lady statue, and that's holding Gris, and Gris is there singing, and then she can't really sing, so she loses her voice a bit, and that whole statue just crumbles. The world loses color, and you just kind of flop down into this colorless, desolate landscape, and it's great. These, like, first few moments, you are completely powerless. You're moving at a snail's pace. Any button you press, like the one you expect to jump, you don't. You flump in a way that I can only describe as Cass-like.
All right.
And that you just, like,
just drop.
You just drop, and the whole, like, you're wearing a dress and it kind of billows up. The artwork is all very minimalistic.
That's good.
And very kind of that, I guess, straight lines and geometrically simple kind of design, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
Any moment in time when you're playing this, you could pause it and, like, the screen grab you get would make beautiful art. Like, that would be good. Something you'd almost want to hang up on a wall, or I would want to hang up on a wall. And, yeah, some of the designs of, like, the icons and even the menu itself is just that beautiful, minimalistic, simple abstract that I really love. Like, yep. It was kind of like, hey, would you like a game that you, the art style you love, Joel Zammett? And I was like, yes. I'm like, here it is. And I opened my mouth and they poured it in. I was like, so you start the game off very, very powerless, very, very weak. And eventually, like, within a couple of moments, you sort of get the jump.
Get guns.
Function. You get guns. That turns into something
Duke
like
Nukem.
Ratchet and Clank.
The second level is set in a strip club. There's pig cops. You gotta shoot them.
Yeah, it's good. You can give strippers money and then kick them. What a game. So yeah, you start off very powerless, and then as you progress, and again, it's a very quick game. It is. You can get it done within like 4 or 5 hours if you'd like.
Okay.
You could probably like speed run it and get it done even quicker, to be honest.
Speed run Gris, feel nothing.
Yep. Oh, dude, it was good. That's really not how you should play this game.
What did it feel like? Quick.
And so each level, you generally gain a different ability. So like the first time you gain, I get a jump, then you get, might say, a double jump, and then you get the ability to turn into like a big stone, like block that can't move.
A swamp from Mario?
Yeah, like a thump.
No, what's it for? Is it for solving puzzles?
Yeah,
or
it's for solving puzzles.
Are there enemies in the game?
No.
Cool.
No. There's no enemies.
Okay.
So you kind of progress through the storyline, and initially it's all this kind of drab, grey, kind of depressing world, and it's all in watercolor.
Mm.
And then as you go on, you unlock colors. So the first one is red, and then it'll go, I think it was maybe blue or green, and then yellow. And so every time you finish the level or the chapter, it'll unlock the colors, and it'll just kind of this beautiful cutscene where you all these beautiful things will just start happening, and you're like, oh, I'm feeling joy.
Yeah.
So
I love when paint give me joy.
And yeah, so sort of going through that, and the puzzles. Because it's a 2D platformer sort of puzzle as well.
Okay.
It's a 2D platformer puzzle light, I guess.
Yeah.
Because it is, again, it is quite simple.
That's
good. It is not something that you're going to be like banging your head against the wall to be like, how am I going to solve it? It is very straightforward. It's very linear. It is you're going basically from left to right.
As made famous in this game, Super Mario Brothers.
Yes.
Thanks for the history lesson. Yes,
yeah,
that's so good. For me, it's like with light puzzles like that. Mm. One of my least favorite games ever is Braid.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever play Braid?
No. The one where you're back in time.
Yeah.
That won a bunch of awards because everyone loved it and was very innovative.
I couldn't stand it because...
That doesn't sound like you. Is it a game where you meant to care about the story?
No, I mean, kind of. It's like...
Did you read things?
What frustrated me is that, and it's totally just a personal choice, is that I can't stand a game that puts those puzzles in front of the gameplay. And it's stupid because the puzzles are the gameplay.
Yeah.
But I just was like, I'm not enjoying this game because every single, it's like I come across a room and I'm like, well, now I've just got to spend ages jumping, trying to find the right, I can't be bothered. Mm. If I want a game like that, I'd prefer it to be kind of puzzle light where I can get the mild complication of being like, ooh, how do I figure it out? But then I figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't want one where I'm reduced to just looking it up, which happened to me multiple times in Braid. And I was like, that's just not fun for me.
You do not have to look up how to...
And maybe it's because I'm stupid.
Maybe.
I was going to say, it's weird doing a video game podcast with someone that is so dumb.
but I just can't stand it.
Yeah, so you might love this game. And I recommend you play this game.
I reckon I would really enjoy it.
I think you would. And weirdly, because I know your mum played Journey and loved it. I honestly think she would love this game.
Maybe I'll get mum to give it a go.
She'd
love Journey.
It's... Because it is a game that is so simple, I would recommend that you if someone isn't a hardcore gamer or even someone who just dabbles in games, this is a really good entry point. Or this is like, hey, I know you don't really like video games, but play this because it's a lot of fun
and it's
very simple and it's easy, and it's the kind of game I would recommend for literally anybody.
Cool.
Ooh.
Unless you're after a challenge, then no, maybe play Celeste.
Would my nan like it?
Potentially, yeah.
Hell yeah, Nan's gonna love this.
Oh man, gets the Nan tick of approval.
And how's her thumb dexterity?
She's very shaky from years of smoking cigarettes.
Hell yeah,
might be good. Hard to say, because you cannot die. Like you cannot die in this game. The moment you like say fall down, what you think would be like instant death in like a Mario, as you mentioned,
1986.
It's nice. You just fall onto a platform that was off panel, and you'd be like, oh, and then like a little platform would be like bloop bloop bloop, and you're like, okay, I guess I walk up that and I'm back where I need to be. Yay.
Cool.
So in terms of gameplay,
can you solve this entire game just by holding down the right stick?
No.
You
need to jump, and like it isn't as simple as left to right. You do have to like sometimes go right to left.
Back
and
forth.
And there is one, like the very final chapter.
Yeah.
It's all mirrored. It's not as simple as going left to right. Like, sometimes you go, you know, right to left, and there's jumping, and there is an underwater level. But where
that
really
reminds me of.
Yes.
Super Mario Brothers on the NES in 1986, where World 2 is underwater.
I think World 3 is underwater for Gris.
Ooh, or is it World 3?
Yeah, it's World 3, you fool. World 2 is in a cave.
Oh, man, I need to check the history books.
How you doing a video game podcast? You don't even know when the Mario's underground.
No, that's 1-2.
Oh, shit.
Not World 2.
Shit. Damn.
But there is like the very final level, which is like a mirror level.
Okay.
So there's like basically a line in the middle of the screen, or we're close to it, and you sort of hop to there and you can jump, and then everything's upside down. And so the whole, I'll talk about the art style, a lot of it is about symmetry.
You're holding a deck of cards, and I thought you were going to try and diagram the level to us for a second, and I was like, oh my God.
No, I just shuffle these because I have undiagnosed ADHD, and I cannot stop fiddling. So, this game stopped me fiddling, so it was great. But also, it's really nice. Everything is very symmetrical, and it really kind of really leans into that really beautiful, simple kind of way of art style. So there is a lot of symmetry throughout the levels, except where it's like asymmetrical on purpose.
Yeah.
And in that symmetry, a lot of what you have to do kind of can be samey.
Okay.
So the way you progress is, so you have to go and find these little baubles, those little like stars or like light little things you have to grab.
Yeah, yeah, just and, like yeah, video game orbs.
Video game orbs. And so you go and you grab them and they help you progress. So you usually need like at least two. So it's like, okay, I got two, and there is these like two little things that'll connect the dots, and now I've got a platform to walk. Yay.
Cool.
And more often than not, what'll happen is you'll go to each level will have like a main area.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, okay, cool. I need either two, four, or six, or whatever it was, of little baubles. And then there'll be like little branching pathways. So the first one will be like, okay, well, I can go left and right. I'll go left. I'll go right. Get the baubles, come back. That'll make a bridge for two.
I'll
go up there. Okay, left and right. All right, I'll get the baubles there. I've got four. I'll keep going forward.
Cool.
And that's kind of very, very similar.
Yeah.
Sort of like a Metroidvania light a bit as well. Yeah?
No, because you don't go back.
Okay,
which is something I want to bring
up.
Yeah,
sure.
So, but before I do, sort of going more towards a storyline, is that as you are progressing, you just can't go back. And which is kind of, I feel, great narratively and for the themes of this whole game, because the whole game is about grief.
Forget the past, let it burn.
Well, exactly. Well, I would be more of, this isn't about looking back, this is going forward, which I feel might be a bit nicer way of saying...
Same sentiment.
Yeah, I get the same sentiment.
Nostalgia's a waste of time. Everything you did yesterday means nothing today.
Yeah. So you cannot go back. And this is something I'm like was always tossing up between like if I would have liked that or if not, to be able to sort of go back to say previous levels with say your new abilities and see what would happen.
Sure.
But I'll sort of get to that. So you are basically progressing forward in this journey. And it is all about grief. So the first stage is about anger.
Oh,
and
cool.
It, when you start realizing this, you can go like, okay, I understand the reasons behind the level design and I understand the reasons of the gameplay. So to kind of move yourself forward, you have to then make yourself a rock or a big kind of unmovable object and move forward. So the only way you're going to get through this anger is to kind of like hunker down and just kind of brute force your way through this. And so that's kind of a really nice kind of theme. And so when you look at the sort of storyline, you don't know if it's about, again, you killing something inside yourself so you can kind of grow and be better, if it's about the death of your mother, or if you're playing the mother into the death of your child.
Oh,
it's
gosh.
A little bit like really up to you how you want to kind of look into it, kind of thing.
Mm.
And for that reason alone, I think this is a really beautiful game. So that said, when it all is being said, none, you've finished it, it's all great, you've done well. You can go back, because there are these little mementos you can kind of get, and there are the hidden things in each level, which are also pretty easy to get, but some can be a little bit annoying. So okay. Some are like, where is this thing? And you can kind of go back and try and find it. I would recommend going back and finding it simply so you're playing the game longer, and so you're in that world a lot more. And once you get all those little mementos, you do get an extra bonus end, which may help you. It's not even a true ending. It's just like a little bit more of a cutscene to kind of help you understand, or maybe, again, up for interpretation because there's no real words, to be like, okay, I think this.
Be good if the true ending was the only time where there was actual words. It just said, yeah, your mom dead.
The mom dead was the true one. To get the secret ending in Braid, you had to stand for a little literal hour and a half on a ledge.
No, thank you.
What a great game. It deserved all the awards it got.
And so there are moments when sort of goes, like it cuts to a
side
different...
note quickly, yeah? Just on hidden endings. Have you heard about the most recent hidden ending that came out of a game that came out like years and years ago? Payday 2's true ending was recently revealed.
What's Payday 2's true? What is it?
You steal a machine that lets you become the president.
What?
Yep. Because Bane, that's his name, the guy who gives you the missions.
Maybe.
Yeah, he's dying. So he takes over the body of the president.
What?
And then Payday 2 ends with you running America. Anyway.
Okay.
All right, rock and roll.
So the only time the graphics change or the animation change is through some certain cutscenes, which I would say aren't the strongest point in Gris, because it's kind of like, well, the cutscenes, the animations, it's usually of her trying to sing or eventually singing, and you're like, this is, it's pretty, but it is nowhere near as pretty as the game I was playing.
Okay. No, that's always so bad.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong, it's like, it's a really good art style, it's just, you kind of like, it was so beautiful, and the architecture and the layouts and the design, everything was so beautiful, and it's sort of like, it's still good, it's just not as good as the rest of the game, in my opinion of that.
Yeah, fair.
And so I always thought, like, because again, you are meant to get these little, or you can go back and get these little mementos, and you do that by replaying the chapters.
Mm-hmm.
So when you finish a chapter, you can go back at any point and like replay it, but you don't get your abilities that you've like learned previously. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the only thing that kind of really like saves in your overarching game is those little mementos you get. And I don't know, and this is where it comes down to this kind of like theme versus gameplay, and it's like, oh, it'd be kind of nice to go back with the things that I have learned. Say, you know, after I've gone and, you know, dealt with my stages of grief.
To go back and have a look at it.
Go back to anger and with like, oh, whatever. But at the same time, it's kind of like, maybe that would have been more, I don't know, design in terms of like, had more time to design like the levels for that. And it's kind of, you know what I'm trying to get at here? It's kind of that weird kind of like...
We kind of break the game. The game would be totally different if you could do that, because then they'd have to put hidden bits.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
Exactly. And you're kind of like, I don't know if I'm of two minds. I'm one, which would be like, it would have been nice to go revisit these kind of things, because there's one level where you just have this little boy that kind of follows you around that you get to feed apples, and
oh,
I loved
him. That is good.
And so there's kind of those kind of moments I'm like, I don't know, because thematically it makes no sense...
For
why
you to
would
return
go back.
Back. Yeah.
And then again, like, even thematically, it just makes no sense redoing the chapter to collect these mementos.
So you're kind of doing it anyway. Yeah, why not just go back?
And it's kind of like this whole thing where it's just kind of, I'd rather be like, well, you know what? You did it. There are things to get and you missed it. So, oh, well, start again and do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Kind of like what Journey does.
I think I would be more in that kind of, well, no, I don't know. I guess, see? I think for me, I'd be like, look, you finished the game. You got the story. Yeah. You want to go back and replay them? Go back and replay them. I think for me at that point, the game's done. I've done it. So now let me just... I've had the story, let me have the game, kind of.
Yeah. Although it is pretty funny to imagine someone dealing through the stages of grief and then being like, I'm so glad I'm over that. Back to anger.
Back to anger.
Now I can pick which emotion I'm feeling. Bargaining.
And there are also challenges, as in like basically achievements.
Okay.
But there's like, you go to the option menu and it's like, oh, challenge, you click it and there's just blank spaces. So you just, and this is my, like, again, couple little caveats with this game. It's just like, there is just no way knowing what those would be.
Do you know if you get anything for completing the challenges?
No, just like a bit of a pat on the back and a
bragging rights. Bragging tell rights your friends. Email your mom.
Exactly.
I did it. Grizz so, is done.
Yeah, I got them all. So so I was like, I just want to play this game more.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I looked online to be like, what are the achievements? What are the challenges? And like after finding that, I'm like, I would never have known that, but cool.
Like what? Do you have any examples?
So for one example is you're not meant to get blown over by the wind in the, I think, the second level at all. One is like you have to, like, when you get to sing near songbirds, you have to sing near all the songbirds.
Okay.
And one is like when you see, again, in anger levels, it's like there's these little statues which kind of look like you. Smash them good. And once you get them all, you get that achievement.
That's pretty good.
And maybe, again, because I'm stupid, I didn't realize, you know, I would not have been able to work that out without the help of a
That's a weird one.
Telling me what to do.
Although sometimes achievements are like, jump 100 times in one level.
Yeah.
Why would I do that?
Yeah, why would you do that?
I have no time for achievements that don't give me something, personally. I can't be bothered doing a challenge. It's like in say, Red Dead Redemption, every time you do a mission, you can have a look and it can be like, there are challenges within the mission. Like, oh, do it with only using this gun or whatever.
Yeah, no.
But you don't get anything. You just get a tick and like you did it. And I don't know. I just can't be bothered with that anymore. If they're like, hey, it could be anything. They're like, do it all, you'll get a cool hat.
Yeah,
I might be interested, but if there's no reward, a pat in the back's just not enough.
Would Grizz be better if there was cool hats?
No. Would Grizz be better if plenty of the challenges got you a cool hat?
Yes.
Number one gamer is what the hat says.
I wish.
But like, again, if I think World of Warcraft broke me for achievements because I just do not care about achievements. The only reason I went back and got these achievements is because I genuinely wanted to keep playing in this game.
Oh, yeah.
Like, and I think the biggest problem of this game is that it ends.
Yeah.
Because you're like, I want more. And it is beautiful. And I think I've said beautiful a lot this episode. And I genuinely mean that. It is just like awesome. It is just wonderfully. It's just like I was awestruck a few times being like, it's so pretty. And I remember like a few years ago, maybe even 5 or 6, that argument that always pops up was like, video games cannot be art. I'm like, play this game. Shut up. It's art.
Play Leisure Suit Larry. That's art.
That is art.
If a shoe can be art, a video game can be art.
Yeah.
Shut up.
So, yeah, this game, I would... because it was so quick, I don't know if I want to give it like 5 thumbs or like 4 thumbs and a knock. And because like any kind of like problems that I have are very niggling, and I'm just like, no, if they had made it a little bit different, I don't know. And I feel that would have been a bit more cheap. So, nah, bugger it. 5 thumbs. I love this game. Go out and buy it. It is relatively cheap as well.
Yeah, what was, how much
I think
was
it? It was at $30 Australian.
Okay.
So, for 5 hours, that's pretty good.
So it's a pretty quick game. You can, like, you know, blitz through it, but I would recommend taking your time. And it is just a fun game to explore. It's a fun game to kind of go everywhere. Like, towards the end, you get an ability to, like, sing, and you just press it, you sing. I was singing at everything. I didn't need to, but by golly, I was doing it.
Have a sing.
Have a bit of a sing.
Well, before I tell you what game I've been playing this week, maybe... bit of word from our sponsors.
Also, a sneaky reminder that this Melbourne Comedy Festival, I'm going to be hosting Big Deal, a singularly unwholesome quiz show. Grab your tickets from our website, sanspantsradio.com/live.
And what have you been playing, JD?
All right, so you've been talking about the most beautiful game available on the Nintendo Switch of recent.
Yes.
Which sounds great, sounds very deep, sounds very moving.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to talk about the horniest game available on the Nintendo Switch.
All right.
Bayonetta 2.
All right.
So,
where are these thumbs going?
Whoa, that's the type of joke I'd expect from Bayonetta 2. So I played through Bayonetta 1 just before we went to the UK last year and blitzed through it because it is a gameplay that is wildly addictive. It's just like an action beat-em-up, almost bullet hell though, because all the enemies, there's just stuff everywhere all the time. It's super satisfying. There's a lot of combos. The story in the first one though is absolute nonsense and doesn't really make any sense. Bayonetta 2 starts with a setup to the story that is far easier to follow and doesn't require like to read about stuff online to figure out what's going on.
Gosh.
So Bayonetta 2, the plot is basically like an enemy from the first game whom you befriended is killed and her soul is going to hell unless you can stop it. So Bayonetta's like, gonna go to hell.
All right.
So then you go to hell. I'm not far enough into the game to realize what's going to happen, and knowing that it's a Bayonetta game makes me think that
someone will get nude.
That happens almost straight off the bat.
So, for those who don't know what a Bayonetta is, and my only reference of Bayonetta is her hair is her costume.
Yes. So basically, she is a witch. She was in the first game. Oh man, it's so hard to explain. Basically, she's just a witch. She's a witch.
Okay.
And
all right.
Witch with magic hair. That's all. Oh, it's all good, man.
From a place called Inferno, I think.
Oh, no.
There we go. All right.
And there's two parallel worlds.
This is on us.
Yeah, there's two parallel worlds, Paradiso and
Inferno. Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm getting a headache. Okay.
Yeah, and the angel ones are actually
angels?
Bad.
Sure, the angels are
no,
bad.
No, I didn't ask a question.
The angel
forget,
ones.
Forget okay. I asked a question.
Bayonet is a witch.
Oh, cool. No, that sounds and, like right. a fun. Yeah,
and, the, and what would usually be good guys are actually bad guys.
Okay.
Because they're trying to, even though they're like, hey, we're heavenly and stuff, they were actually trying to kill all the witches. The witches are like, no, it's about balance, the light and the dark, where the light was like, no.
All light.
So and in the second one,
no
yes.
shadows.
Yeah.
Nothing but pure light.
Man, it
burn
is so
bright.
Hard.
Burn so bright.
So I just tried to explain what is the setup of the first one. Also add the fact that you're escorting a child that ends up being you.
Shush.
No.
Shushums. No, thank you.
I refuse.
Yeah, it's all a...
Yeah, look. I'm thinking of Banjo-Kazooie right now, and that's a lot better for
you
me.
You know what's very funny about that? That was almost the other game I went with, because I've been playing two games this week. One was Bayonetta 2. The other one was Banjo-Kazooie for the Nintendo 64.
Heck yeah,
so I'm going to review both now that you've brought it up. So I'll use two connections. So you were talking about a beautiful game, Bayonetta 2, horny game. Beautiful is horny.
Yeah.
Sure.
Horny is beautiful.
All right. I'll let you. Sure.
And Grizz is wordless. Banjo-Kazooie, also wordless. People talk, but they just go... Okay. Banjo-Kazooie and Bayonetta 2 have the same problem at points, which is the camera is kind of hard to control. Bayonetta 2's camera control is far better than Banjo-Kazooie's, which often has you looking at a wall.
Yes.
There's underwater levels early on in Banjo-Kazooie that are a nightmare because the swimming controls are garbage.
Mm-hmm. Sure are.
Bayonetta 2 seems to control a lot better than Bayonetta 1, and she got a haircut and her character looks better.
Did Banjo need to breathe on underwater?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has 1 minute
blue
of air.
Honeycombs.
Just from, yep. Yeah, just trying to remember my...
And unlike...
Can that bear breathe underwater? What a hero bear.
No, he couldn't. And if you exhaust all your air, it doesn't then drain your health. It's just an instant death.
Mm-hmm. I remember.
Yeah, it's stressful.
Oh,
Clanker's Cavern.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ah, what a time.
So I've been trying to 100% this game, so... I've recently just finished Clanker's Cavern. The first time I finished the level, I had 99 notes out of 100, mm-hmm. which you'll recognize as being not 100%, and also finding one note, basically impossible.
Yep.
Well, good luck on that one.
So yeah, I had a tantrum and turned it off, and then when I turned it back on again, I found the last note and it was good. But Banjo-Kazooie doesn't Banjo-Kazooie doesn't save your progress like that. If you leave a level and there's one note left, when you come back, they're like, hey, your best note score is 99. So next time, so I had to collect all of them again.
That makes me happy.
Banjo-Kazooie's control scheme only works with a Nintendo 64 controller. If you're playing it on any other console, the combinations of buttons would be hell to press, because they're already a stretch with a Nintendo 64 controller, which has six buttons that are all accessible from your thumb, plus mixed with Z, so then all of a sudden there's like 12 button combinations.
Is it weird? Because like I remember playing it when I was a kid, and like the controls and like the never a struggle. when I was a child.
Is that because
my brain's still, like, you know, malleable to be like, I understand this three-handed machine?
Well, I think it's because presumably after that, the only consoles we've played have been consoles with a dual control.
Oh, yeah.
So... We just
Nintendo 64's big issue is the fact that you never really need to press L or use the D-pad. But if any game, and I remember, I think it was Mischief Makers. There was a game on Nintendo 64 that I rented once, and it forced me to move my hand from the controller stick to the other side of the controller. And I reckon 7-year-old me almost threw up out of confusion. holding a Nintendo 64 controller not with your one hand on the middle prong
terrifying.
It feels horrible.
Yeah, that's weird. Don't do that.
Anyway, Banjo-Kazooie holds up in the sense that it's fun and silly. The music rules, level designs are all different. Controls like hell and the camera is atrocious. Bayonetta 2, very horny. She's naked right at the start of the game. You're Good. Wearing a white dress that then gets cut off and
of
then
course.
She's Classic. Totally naked, which
Why
is
would
funny.
You not? Yeah.
Because Bayonetta 2 is made exclusively for the Wii U. And then got ported to the Switch. So
Nintendo
were like old horn dogs, I guess.
Yeah, horn it up.
We love Bayonetta 1, but what if she was more naked early on?
Okay.
There's lots of like the top of bum and stuff happening. She doesn't have nipples though, because like there's points where you should definitely.
I know witches don't have nipples. I'm aware.
It's
witches have specifically nipples that are where Satan is.
Yeah.
You not know this about witches?
Oh, yeah,
it's a
yeah,
witch's
yeah,
mark.
Yeah.
You put a needle in it. If she's like, ow, she isn't a witch.
Mm.
What?
You know, cold as a witch's tit? Is that where it comes from?
I don't know. All I know is that back when they were hunting witches, one thing they would do is they would check a witch for a witch's mark, which was generally either a nipple or a mole.
Uh-huh.
And if it was a mole, they would stab it with a needle. And if she made no reaction, that was proof.
That she
was a witch.
See, I would have assumed it was the other way.
Because if she's like, ow, then it's just a mole. But she's like, I feel nothing, it's because it's Satan.
Yeah, but if she says ow, that means they can't burn her. You know what I mean?
And they loved burning
people.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, like, they had specific pins that would go in. Ooh. Like, as in not into the bodies, and they would retract so they could fake it. You know, like fake knives?
Yeah.
They would have that, but with a pin, so they could be like, she didn't do anything, and she'd be like, you didn't even prick me. Anyway, witch history lesson aside.
Is that just a way for them to see witch titties?
God, man, they were not good people, so possibly. Who knows?
Hmm. Anywho.
Well, you don't need to ask Bayonetta, because her hair's clothes and she attacks with her hair, so it's all happening. It's very fun and addictive, and it feels like a joke, so I feel okay playing it, but there's definitely cutscenes where I'm like, don't feel good about this one. So I'm going to give Bayonetta 2.
Okay.
4 thumbs.
All right.
So addictive.
What about Banjo-Kazooie?
4 thumbs also.
8 thumbs.
2 classics.
Somebody, maybe me, in the last episode.
Yes, it was.
Briefly touched on the game Loco Roco.
Yes, a handsome individual.
Some handsome, beautiful man mentioned the game Loco Roco. And so I thought, why not? I'll give it a go. Upon downloading Loco Roco 1, it became apparent to me that the game I have played is not Loco Roco. It is a game called Loco Roco Kochoro or Loco Roco Korokoro, which is basically, it was a spin-off for the PS3 where it played very differently. So the way Loco Roco plays is that you have a 2D background.
Mm-hmm.
You play as a little fat yellow ball. You have to tilt with the R1 and L1, or maybe R2 and L2, I forget. Tilt the world,
okay.
And that rolls the little ball, and you have to roll it from one side of the map to the other. Meanwhile, collecting plums or apricots, fruit, let's say. And when you collect a fruit, you kind of double in size, uh-huh. And it counts as a second Loco Roco.
So you produce asexually.
Yeah, from eating fruit.
Okay.
And then eventually...
Fruit makes you horny.
Yep. Just like Bayonetta.
Pop another one out.
Just like Gris.
And the aim is basically to get as many fruits so you get as big as you can and reach the other side of the level whilst... kind of collecting these little other smaller fruits, which are actually not worth anything except to spend on mini games, so whatever. And also finding little guys called Kai Kais? I forget. They're these little dudes who are like, thank you, and you land on them, and...
Are you singing a song?
Yeah, the songs come later, because you land on the guy, and he's like, Mah! And then in the very first level, you land on it, and it's like, find me and my friends, and we'll do cool things. And I was like, okay, and that unlocked a bit of the level, but that hasn't happened since. Yeah. So I don't know if that was just the first one, but he gives you stuff where you can create your own Loco Roco level, and he gives you, like, things to use on those levels. There are enemies, which just sort of float around, and they will suck one of the Loco Rocos out of you.
They like, are spooky.
They are scary. They're like, hum-a-num-a-num-a-num-a-num-a-num-a-num-a. And they reach you, and they're like, and then they suck one out of you, and you lost it. If you get damaged, you don't die. You just lose one of the Loco Rocos you've acquired.
You plop one out.
It's like it plops out as like a little stone, and you got to eat it again.
Yeah. That rules, I think.
One of the ways to get to the little Kai Kai guys, and that's not, so not the name, but to get to them is you got to eat a whole bunch of nuts, and he's at the other end. It's like not a puzzle. It'll be like a tube with four nuts in the way of one of the guys. You just got to eat the four nuts, and then he's like, you found me.
I wasn't looking for you. I just wanted to eat these nuts.
I guess you're here. Good. The gameplay is not hard. It's difficult. There are, I think, 20 Loco Rocos in each level.
Yeah.
I've gotten 18 on one, but I've not gotten all 20. So there are some hidden ones to find, which
hidden
is...
Hidden Loco Rocos.
I guess what's what the kind of like challenge comes from.
Do you get big?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Every Loco Roco you get doubles you in size.
Doesn't double
you in size, but it increases you a level in size. So you're very fat and slow moving. But then
when you got all 18, was it satisfying?
Oh, it ruled. Well, there was 20. There was two missing. But yeah, 18, I was so big. And then sometimes on the map, you have to liquefy. And that's where you become all of the individual Loco Rocos. And you like fall through tight gaps or whatever. And then you got to hold down circle. And all of the Loco Rocos are like, no! And then you become fat again. They absorb into each other.
They had sentience, and you took that sentience, and you took them.
I stole it from them.
Yeah, they seem to hate becoming one. But yeah. They also seem to hate not being one.
It's weird.
They're just angry, angry and whingy.
They're a puzzle.
I love the sound design.
Oh yeah. So another thing that happens is that sometimes you'll find a barrier, and it'll be like you need X amount of Loco Rocos, and if you stop and you wait for long enough and you have the right amount of Loco Rocos, you get a little song from them.
Aww.
That comes out of your controller, like the little speakers on your PS4 controller, and it's always adorable. Like so, every world you get a brand new variety of Loco Roco.
Yeah,
they don't have any difference except the song. So in the first level, the Loco Rocos are voiced by kids. So as you roll through the thing, you're like, ah, wee, yeah. And then when you sing, you're like, bah, da, 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 da. And then the second one is like a French woman.
Mm.
It's like a little pink Loco Roco. There's also, there's like four other ones that
I've gotten. Is there any angry men?
I think one of them, Jonas, you're looking for his demographic in Loco Roco. When are they going to make more games for angry men? I don't know, there are like three or four other Loco Rocos I've yet to get, because I got to level 2 and I got to the end of level 2, turned it off, and then when I turned it on, remembered that it was a PS2 game and
yes!
I had to save, and because I hadn't saved, I'd lost all my progress. But
that happened to me in Katamari Damacy, which is funny because this review probably plays a lot like that review did, where it's just a lot of words that all mean things, but not in the context they're being used in.
Absolutely.
You know, you just roll a ball, you pick everything up, and then you're real big, and then the stars.
Yes.
And this one, you're like, yeah, you know, you just roll from left to right, and then you pick up another double
you
in size.
You pick up your Loco Rocos, avoid the Goonga Rongas, whatever. I forget the names of anything other than Loco Rocos. The game, they're really quick, the levels.
Yeah.
I literally downloaded it, played it, and I played it for like maybe half an hour, 40 minutes, and I'd gotten to the end of level 2 of six worlds. So the end of world 2 of 6 worlds. So you could smash it out pretty quickly. It cost me around $20, $25, I think. Something like that. So price point's pretty good.
Have you played Loco Roco 2?
No, but I want to.
I'm going to beat you to it. I'm going to download and play it.
I got
to
refind Loco Roco Kokoroko, or whatever the one where you're a butterfly was. So the way that one played is that so in Loco Roco, it's individual like levels, basically.
Yeah.
Loco Roco Kokoroko was a massive one world that you were a little butterfly that you moved around the screen, and it kind of played a bit like Lemmings in that you'd go over to a Loco Roco, sing for it, and it would follow you. You'd lead it to another Loco Roco.
Off a cliff!
And, yeah, got him.
The Lemmings trick. Enjoy hell, little buddies.
Best thing in Lemmings, you get one person, they'll flop down, then you go, right, you stop there. He's like, all right, put the stop sign. More coming along, you get the next one, you're like, ah, you stop there. They're on this little tight, little compacting, and you go, everyone blow up.
Lemmings explode.
Best trick in the game. 100%.
I don't know if I have any real problems with LocoRoco. It's such a simple game that it's really hard to have issue with it. Occasionally, the controls aren't massively intuitive. There's a lot of times where, so for example, on one of the worlds, there were vines that I could swing on, and I assumed that it was had to do with tilting the level, but no matter how many times I tilted the level, I couldn't really figure it out. I would
have you ever thought that maybe you're bad at a game designed for a child?
Yeah. Well, I mean, most of the time, yes, but all I'm saying is I would have appreciated a little hint on the screen.
Well, no, because Jackson, you say that, but I've also seen what happens when games give you hints or tell you what to do.
Oh, that's
you
right.
Just mash you X just until the words skip. Go away.
That's true. But LocoRoco didn't even give me that option.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Other games, yes, absolutely, it's on me. But LocoRoco just gives you nothing. It's like, go into the level, you beat the level. It's like you figured it out. Oh, it gives you something at the start, but it's... Yeah.
But you X'd through that, so...
I paid attention to the start one. But that's...
Did
that's,
you?
Yeah, it was like, hey, this is how you jump. This is how you tilt the world. Collect right. plums. Find these little kai-kais. Enjoy, idiot. But really, that's such a minor problem. And it's really cool, like, so you can choose if you want to be what LocoRoco you want to be. And
yeah.
So, and so all it changes... Huh?
Ones you've unlocked.
Yeah, of the ones you've unlocked. And all it changes is the song, but each level has its own song, so you get like... Oh, I'm going to be the kids for this level, and you get a different song than if you played as the French woman.
Angry men song.
I want to keep playing it. Even though I lost all my progress, AMS. I want to jump back in it. So I think personally I'd give this maybe five thumbs.
Five thumbs.
Well, it's so simple, and there's kind of no flaws with it.
Famously, the last game you gave five thumbs to was Rain World's multiplayer, a game which we played earlier, and I hated.
Yeah, that's true. You gave it two thumbs. You gave it a personal two thumbs to me.
To no one. Just to you. Which is what you gave the single player mode. So
there you go. Maybe you'll love the single player.
But, I doubt it.
I give LocoRoco five thumbs. I would give it less if I had any problems with it. It's not to say that it's like an incredible game. It just doesn't really have any issues. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds incredible. It sounds like the type of game I want to play.
It's great. It's a lot of fun.
And that brings today's episode to, so a five, a five, and an eight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's 18 thumbs.
Oh my
That's
God.
That's a lot of thumbs.
That's... not the highest we've had. Last week, I famously said 21 thumb salute, even though we got 19.
Yep.
So today, another 21 thumb salute.
Finally, we did something.
You wasted that. On that note, I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
I'm Joel.
And what did you say like a second ago that you want to say it now?
And that's thumbthing.
Stay thumbs.
Thanks for listening. If you want to watch just how competent or incompetent we are at video games, head on over to twitch.tv/sanspantsradio, where you'll see us and other members of the Sanspants Network live stream some of our favorite video games.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.